John 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would attend to the preaching of your gospel. Might it bring life from stone. May your truth shine brightly and the clouds of darkness be pushed back. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a child, not unlike the ones we just saw up here, I was very afraid of the dark. It was made a lot worse by the fact I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, so there were no streetlights, there was very little city glow bouncing off the night sky, so when it was dark, it was very dark. My biggest struggle with this was in the winter. It gets dark very early, you know, we had to put the dog to bed in particular, and on the farm, that means out in the shed. I know that blows the minds of you city dog owners out there, but yes, our dog did sleep outside about 60 meters from the house. And I had to put him to bed and feed him in the dark. And let me tell you, the moment I turned off the shed light, I should have filmed what happened next and sent it in to the NFL or something. I was running a 4.440 from the shed to the house. I was running for my life. I was just legging it through the blackness, not looking where my feet were hitting. I was certain that something would appear out of the dark and end it all. The thing about the fear of darkness, which I think a lot of us share, is scientifically, darkness is not a thing at all. Darkness is the absence of a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. It's how God describes the universe before he said, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1:3. Now that scientific fact aside, the Bible actually has a lot to say about darkness that isn't simply that description. The term is actually used 170 times. A few times it's used to describe darkness, the absence of light, for example, in creation accounts, when darkness falls on Egypt during the ninth plague. But more often, darkness is used to personify or describe the state or the realm of all those in rebellion against God. Proverbs 4:19, "But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness." Or as Jesus would say to the soldiers who came to arrest him in the garden, "This is your hour, when darkness reigns." Jesus obviously does not mean literal lack of light in that instance. He means evil. And it works the other way when it comes to light. Light is divine. It's representative of pure goodness. The Apostle John is the most prolific user of this light imagery we have in the Bible. We have to assume he picked this up from Jesus himself. After all, John records for us in chapter 8 of his gospel that Jesus, at one point in his ministry, openly identifies himself as the light of the world. So it's no wonder, then, that John chose to begin his account of Jesus' life to describe his birth with that account we just read using that imagery. He doesn't do a historical narrative like Matthew and Luke do. Instead, he says, John 1:9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Now that's pleasant imagery, I think for almost everyone, not very offensive at all to our Canadian ears, almost all of the world's religions associate light with good. You have Diwali, the festival of lights. You have Hanukkah. Both are celebrations of light triumphing over darkness. Even Ramadan is all about spiritual illumination. There are light aspects to its celebration. However, the distinction when it comes to how Jesus speaks of light is this. Jesus claims, in no uncertain terms, that he is the source of all light, of all goodness, the true light, as that text says in John 1:9. It's nothing short of a divine claim unto himself. It's clearly part of John's point for including this. He wants to show us that Jesus is, in fact, God. Elsewhere in the book of 1 John, also written by the Apostle John, he writes this, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And so we have these two comparisons within John's own writings. Just as the God the Father is light in that text, so here is God the Son, the incarnate Word, made flesh, also light. Here's where things perhaps do get a bit offensive. You see, the Bible is also clear that apart from Christ, and Christ only, all of us humans are in utter darkness. There isn't a single exception. And it doesn't describe us like this. We're not dimmed lights that need to be fanned into flame. We don't have a pilot light running here that we need to turn on by some effort of our own. No, the reality of the human condition is there is no light when we are sinners. We are born into sin. Romans 3:12, there is no one who does good, not even one. You can recall the text that Pastor John just read for us a couple minutes ago, Isaiah 9:2. It's helpful. It's a prophecy about Christ and his coming. It says this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Notice in that verse that the light does not emerge from the people in darkness. Rather, they see it. It dawns upon them. Humans cannot generate our own light, our own goodness. We can't do it by any means of our own, by good works or pilgrimage, karma, or by manipulating the spiritual realm in any way that we might think we can. We need something external, not of this sinful world, to bring light to us. And that's the central message, really, of Christmas. It isn't generic charity or gift-giving or a mutual outpouring of kindness or a collective resolve to do good or to help the poor. Those are all fantastic things, great things. But they are all downstream from the main purpose for God taking on flesh and entering into the world as a man. When Jesus took on flesh in Mary's womb and was born that night in a livestock feeding area, what we should see is light storming the realm of the darkness. True light. Light which could dispel the darkness. Goodness that truly could disarm and overcome evil. God who is light with us, those who are living in darkness. The question that follows from that is, what now? If this true light did come, does that mean that all were brought out of the dark in that moment? The Bible's answer is no. You can see this in the text that I began to read, John 1:9. You can notice two different results that emerge following that verse. So you have John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's one response. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Belief in Christ is the crucial factor. But even that is not of our own doing, as though those who believe in Jesus are somehow intellectually superior or have found a way while others have not. No, if you look at the next verse, we see where that belief comes from. To those who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. John is clear, becoming a person who walks in the light and not in darkness is first and foremost a work of God himself. God must do a work in the heart of a sinner in order for us to receive him. and to receive his Son. Do you know how he often does that? It's actually what we're doing right now. God speaks through his word, which by no coincidence is also described in Scripture as light. Psalm 119:15, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And friends, my simple appeal to you tonight is to run toward the light of Christ and not away from it. John 12:46, Jesus says this, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Friends, all of us are sinners. All of us, at one point, stumbled around in the dark. Some of us still are. But this side of Christ's coming and of his victory over death, which is the ultimate goal of his coming, you can join yourself to the true light. Jesus disarmed what the Bible describes as the power of darkness, which is death. He did this by his victorious resurrection, and he offers life everlasting to those who come to him by faith in his death, being in their place for their sin. This is the gospel message. This is the good news of great joy that is for all people. Ephesians 5:8 describes the transformation of those who believe in this gospel. And it says this, you were once in darkness, Christian, but now you are light in the Lord. Friend, if what I've said tonight has piqued your interest at all and you're not a Christian here with us, and you're not quite sure yet, take a Bible home with you. That's our gift to you. Start there. Explore it for yourself. Read the Word. Ask us questions. Bring us your hardest ones, your skeptical ones. We don't claim to know in and of ourselves, but we'll take your questions to the Word of God. To my brothers and sisters who are gathered here tonight, recall the result of this great truth. This great truth we've just thought about in John 1:9. If we are now united to Christ by faith in his gospel, then we too, as Jesus said in his famous Sermon on the Mount, are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others. In a few moments, we'll be singing Silent Night together. And we're going to do this by slowly lighting the candles you got when you came in. The flames will start with one, ultimately. It'll start with one, and then it will spread to many. And this is a fitting image of what happened when Jesus came into the world a little over 2,000 years ago. As that light is passed around, just pass it over to your neighbor. Help the light to spread around the room. May each of us here today who believe, and perhaps some who tonight or in the days ahead will believe, may we carry forward the light of Christ into our dark world. Amen.